The Lord said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. This afternoon, we gather in worship to celebrate the resurrection of Dale Glenn. As we think about Dale's future, we can take comfort in knowing that he is now conscious in the spiritual world, a world he believed in without a doubt. In the spiritual world, in his spiritual body, Dale is now beginning the process of following his loves to his new home. In the other life, the Lord leads everyone through a process in which the external part of him fades away, and who he really is internally emerges. A person is then led by his affections without barriers to pursuing what he loves most. In the spiritual world, a person's loves determine where he will ultimately reside. The Lord teaches in the work Divine Love and Wisdom that because love makes the life of man, and thus the man himself, all societies of heaven and all angels in societies are arranged according to affections belonging to love. While the Lord teaches us that we cannot make spiritual judgments, we can, from Dale's life here on earth, see that it is quite possible that use, family, and fidelity to his marriage vows were among the things that Dale loved the most. And it may be that these loves will lead him through the process that he is now embarking upon. His love of use seemed most evident in the work that he first became acquainted with at the age of 12 in Brenathen, Pennsylvania. At this early age, Dale met a tree man who took him under his wing. The mentoring relationship that formed here set him on a path that he followed through the twists and turns of the rest of his life. Before meeting this tree man, Dale's youth included playing cowboys with his neighborhood friends in Ohio, and then at age 7, moving to Brenathen, where he built forts in the woods by his house as he watched new houses being built around his own. When he got older, he began the task of sweeping out the local jail at the behest of the Brenathen police chief, likely in exchange for not having to occupy it himself. But it was that tree man who sparked in Dale, at the age of 12, a desire to work hard and develop a strong affection for the intense physical demands, intelligent forethought, and even spontaneity required to do the tree work well. Dale loved the perspective that could be gained from a lofty perch in the top of a tree. High up in a tree, happy and free, as one poet has put it. This seems to be an early indication of his love of use. And a person's love of use is central to his spiritual well-being. The heavenly doctrine of the new church teaches that if men look to the Lord and shun evils as sins and do their work sincerely, justly, and faithfully, they become forms of charity, each in proportion as he loves his work and is diligent in it. Dale's love for work, especially tree work, and his diligence in it first began at the age of 12 and would eventually become his life's work. But, as evidenced by Dale's task of sweeping out the jail, his high school years were tumultuous. However, after being drafted at the age of 21 and finishing a term of service in the United States Army in Fort Benning, Georgia, Dale once again encountered his love for tree work. As he was in the midst of pursuing a degree in radio, television, and film from Temple University, led by the guiding hand of Providence, One day, Dale happened upon an old acquaintance in the tree business who was taking down a tree in Willow Grove in Montgomery County. As Dale watched, the fellow asked Dale if he could still climb. Dale demonstrated that he could, and from then on, tree jobs took up more and more time and school less and less. Dale eventually turned this love into a business of his own. Dale's clients remarked that his honesty and integrity were a blessing, and that he always showed up for every job promptly and could always be counted on. Dale's work life affected many who came in contact with it. He is credited by one man who worked for him during a summer stint as giving him the work ethic that he has today. Another former summer worker expressed his gratefulness for Dale teaching him the value of hard work. One person even observed that it was worth pain to watch Dale work. It has also been said that when problems came up, he did not get mad, but worked to find a solution. He looked for providence in what was happening. One observer of these skills commented that Dale had the best anger management skills he had ever seen. Earlier this summer, one of Dale's sons had a vivid dream about watching Dale in his element. He was in the midst of a concrete pour, wearing his blue jeans, old leather boots, and a blue long-sleeve flannel shirt. He was working, not giving instructions or directing, just doing with purpose. And everyone else knew what to do because he was working. He was standing, legs spread apart, balanced on the edge of the form, carefully spreading the concrete with knowing and delicate precision. This image of Dale working certainly seems to embody a man doing what he loves, just as he loved doing tree work with balance, confidence, and purpose. But tied up in Dale's early pursuits in tree work was a habit that he had to overcome. After a second round of rehabilitation that included a spiritual awakening, Dale embarked on a future of sobriety that would extend to the rest of his life, 32 years. The 12-step program he committed to one day at a time seemed to facilitate well the shunning of evil as sins and the life of repentance that the life of charity, the life of use, begins with. The 12 steps that seem so well to help a person flee from evils and live a life of charity include making the decision to turn one's will and life over to the care of God, admitting to God the exact nature of one's wrongs, humbly asking the Lord to remove one's shortcomings, and praying for the knowledge of the Lord's will and power to carry that out. These steps certainly seem to set the stage for the process of repentance described in New Church teachings as examining oneself, recognizing and acknowledging one's sins, praying to the Lord for help, and beginning a new life. Dale's example in this part of his life has also affected many people. It has helped empower them to follow the Lord along a similar path in the midst of their own struggles. His commitment to this process not only stands as a wonderful example, but also seemed to allow the Lord to lead him away from acting more on a habit that had been threatening to irreparably damage another one of his loves, his family. Regarding Dale's love for his family, it seems he understood well the Lord's words in Psalm 127, that children are a heritage of the Lord, and that happy is the man who has his quiver full. It also seems that he was a grateful recipient of the love for his children and grandchildren that the Lord gives to parents and grandparents who are open to its reception. With his children, Kelly, Thaddeus, Angus, Arian, and Bethany, who died in a car accident in 1983, and their spouses, Ted, Kimberly, Kayleen, and Tim, as well as 17 grandchildren. Dale's quiver was full indeed. He loved to read to his children next to the wood-burning stove on cold winter nights. Favorite books included Robin Hood, King Arthur, and Treasure Island. With Treasure Island especially, his reading was magical. Oftentimes, his reading would include humorous, improvised vignettes, nowhere written on the page, but very much a part of the story. His grandchildren especially enjoyed how he would make a simple picture book quite an entertaining adventure. Dale also loved to make things for his children and grandchildren. Wooden pistols, rifles, swords, and weapons of all sorts. Dolls, animals, nativity scenes, beehive boxes, and fire pokers. One of his children commented that when she would ask him to make something, he would often not say yes or no, but that later, the requested item would simply appear. A scene from a family bonfire earlier this summer illustrates the blessings of family Dale so much enjoyed. Back in June, Farn, as he is known to his grandchildren and honorary grandchildren, was taken to the family gathering in the bed of a truck because he did not have the strength to get there under his own power. Throughout the evening, as he lay on a mattress in the back of the truck, he was surrounded by many different configurations of his family as they each took time to visit with him. And throughout this summer, mercifully, the Lord provided 3 months for Dale's family to spend time with him as he was getting closer and closer to his life in the spiritual world. But Dale's affection for children went beyond just his own. Several children who spent time at the Glen residence now recall as adults Dale's kindness, humor, and good nature. Additionally, many a Kempton New Church youth has also had the good fortune of being given an affectionately hard time by Dale after church. A ribbon that was always made sweeter by the offer of a mint, and somehow often included wise doctrinal advice. A final love that seems to be evidenced by Dale's life is his commitment to his marriage vow. Striving to keep his marriage vows was at his core. Dale and Gray were married 48 years ago. But Dale's commitment to marriage goes all the way back to his early days doing tree work. One day back then, he learned that a tree man he respected very much did something Dale then decided he would never do. Dale learned that this man had abandoned his wife and children. On that day, Dale began to choose to love something different than what this man had. Dale chose to love marriage. In his marriage, he was always the one to make the first move to reconcile. He was the one to declare himself to be his wife's friend. And aligning himself in that identity, he became so. This example had an impact on his children as well. One of his sons-in-law recalls Dale explaining to him, "You stay married through the hard times." Further evidence of this love is that one of Dale's final wishes was to bless his children's marriages. Now, as we think about what it seems that Dale loved the most on this earth, youth, family, and marriage, we can picture him going through a process in the other life where these are the things that may very well lead him, where the things that are not truly him, the things he does not truly love, slowly recede and the things he loves become more and more who he will be forever. We can wonder, what would a tree man do in heaven? In heaven and hell we read, he that in heaven comes into the employment or occupation corresponding to his use is much in the same condition of life as when he was in the world, since that what is spiritual and what is natural make one by correspondences. Yet there is this difference, that he then comes into an interior delight, because he comes into spiritual life, which is an interior life, and therefore more receptive of heavenly blessedness. There are certainly trees of many sorts in heaven, more beautiful than any trees we can imagine here on earth. Perhaps Dale will find himself looking up at them, checking them out, and getting to work as a tree man. As the Lord said in the book of Ezekiel, all the trees of the field shall know that I, Yahuwah, have made the tall tree low, have made the low tree tall. I have dried up the moist tree and have made the dry tree flourish. I, Yahuwah, have spoken and have done it. Amen.